بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the series of discussions on the rejectionist Shia, and this is part number 11. And this will be the beginning of focusing upon their creed and their position with respect to the Sunnah. As we have learned, with respect to their position regarding the Quran, we learned that they resort to esoteric or botany interpretations of the texts. So, what is the position of the rejectionist, the Rafida, with respect to the Sunnah? The Sunnah to them is all that which originates from the infallible, from sayings or actions or approvals. This is what is stated in Al-Usul Al-Amma Lil-Fiqh Al-Muqaran, page 122, by Muhammad Taqi Al-Hakim, a Rafidi. Now, if someone hears this, may come to conclude that the infallible here refers to solely to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so he may be deceived by that. However, the rejectionists give the attribute of infallibility to other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and consider their statements and words like the words of Allah and the words of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this refers to the 12 Imams. There is no difference to them between the infallibility of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the infallibility of their Imams. The Imams to them are inspired, and they don't say from their desires. And they are not to be, the narrations referred or related to the Imams are not to be studied through criticism of the narrations, like it is the case with the narrations referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because to them they are designated by Allah. They are designated by Allah on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to them in order to relay the rulings. This is stated in Al-Mudhaffar Usul Al-Fiqh Al-Muqaran 351, and As-Salus's book Athar al-Imama, page 274. Also, there is no difference in the words of these Imams, whether they spoke it in during their childhood or after maturity, because with them or to them they don't commit mistakes, neither intentionally nor due to forgetfulness the entirety of their life, as we will discuss this matter thoroughly in the case of the isma, infallibility. And that's why one of their shuyukh, contemporary shuyukh, his name is Abdullah Fayyad, in his book Tariq al-Imamiyya, page 140, states that إِنَّ الْاَعْتِقَادَ بِعِصْمَةِ الْأَئِمَّةِ, the belief in the infallibility of the imams, made the narrations which originate from them authentic without conditioning that the narration goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is the case with Ahlus Sunnah, end of quote. Why? Because the Imam to them is, as stated by Muhammad Rida al-Muzaffar in his book Aqaidul Imamiyya, page 166, the Imam is istimrarun lin-nubuwa, is a continuity of prophethood. And that the A'imma are like the messengers. Their saying is the saying of Allah, and وَأَمْرُهُمْ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, and their command is the command of Allah, وَطَاعَتُهُمْ طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ, and their obedience is the obedience of Allah, وَمَعْصِيَتُهُمْ مَعْصِيَةُ اللَّهِ, and their disobedience is disobedience of Allah. And وَإِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَنْتِقُوا إِلَّا عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَعَنْ وَحْيِهِ, and they didn't utter anything except from Allah Ta'ala and His revelation. This is in Ibn Babawayh's Al-I'tiqadat, page 106. And they attribute falsely to Abi Abdullah as the author of Al-Kafi, that he mentioned, Hadithi Hadithu Abi, my hadith is the hadith of my father, and the hadith of Abi Hadithu Jaddi, and the hadith of my father is the hadith of my grandfather. وَحَدِيثُ جَدِّي كَحَدِيثُ الْحُسَيْنِ, and the hadith of my grandfather is the hadith of Al-Husayn, and the hadith of Al-Husayn is hadith Al-Hasan, and the hadith of Al-Hasan is hadith Amir al-Mu'mineen, meaning Ali, and hadith Amir al-Mu'mineen is hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَحَدِيثُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the saying of Allah, most mighty, most majestic. This is in Usul al-Kafi, Kitab Fadl al-Ilm, volume 153, and the commentator on this book indicated that hadith kulli wahid, the hadith of each one of them from the a'imma is the saying of Allah. And وَلَا اخْتِلَافَ فِي أَقْوَالِهِمْ, he stated, and there is no discrepancy in their statements as it is with respect to the saying of Allah. This is the commentator on Usul al-Kafi, Al-Mazindarani, volume 2, page 272. And he said that it is permissible for one of them to say, to narrate from his father, from the imams, to his grandfathers, rather it is permissible for them to say, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says. And this is explicit in permitting the sayings of the humans, relating it to Allah, attributing it to Allah. Rather, he mentioned that in some of their narrations, not only the permissibility, but this takes precedence, as in volume 2, page 272 of his same book. So therefore, this is a plain check of permissibility to say what they want to say, whatever they want to say, and then attribute this to one of their imams, and therefore, what the conclusion, since they are infallible, then the saying, the statement is, cannot be questioned, must be true. Therefore, the sunnah to them is not the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ alone, but the sunnah of the imams, of their imams. And that the sayings of these imams is like the saying of Allah and His Messenger. They say these things? Based upon two foundations. That the saying of the Imam to them takes the same as the saying of the Messenger, as being listen, as being listen, as being what? حُجَّةٌ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ, a proof against the people, and thus must be followed. And to them the knowledge is of two types, as we will learn. To them the knowledge is of two types, a new one, and this comes through inspiration and other ways. Second, stored, quote unquote, knowledge inherited from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let's explain these two matters. The knowledge of the Imam, in their view, comes through certain ways. From them is al-ilham, inspiration. And from that is also the what they refer to as an-naktu fil qalbi aw fil qulub, marking in the hearts. Or in another report, inscribing in the hearts of the Imam. And he said that this is the ilham, this is the kind of inspiration. And he said that the knowledge inscribes in his heart by this way, and therefore it cannot be imagined that there could be an error, and that's why he said the Imam is ma'soom, as in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 264, meaning the Imam is infallible. It is not the only way. This ilham, this inspiration is not the only way. From that is that the Imam may receive knowledge by way of making the angels making sounds in their hearing, commanding them. So this is another way. As in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 264, and in the commentary on that, page volume 6, page 44 rather. So he hears the voice and does not see the angel, as in some narrations. Remember, in some narrations he doesn't see the angel. He hears the voice. But in other narrations, as in Bihar al-Anwar 26, 355, they even see the angels when they relate to them. And he put a title for that, Babun, chapter. He said أن الملائكة تأتيهم, the angels come to them, وَتَطَأُ فُرُشَهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُمْ, and they come and they تَطَأُ فُرُشَهُمْ, yani sit on their beds and or step on their beds, and they see them, meaning the imams, they see the angels. And in one of their narrations, they report that some of their imams see angels far greater than Jibreel and Mikael, as in Bihar al-Anwar 26, volume 26, page 358, and in Basair al-Darajat, page 63. It is as if with this situation, their rank is as if higher than the rank of the Prophet ﷺ, to whom only Jibreel comes. And here they have narrations in which they relate that their imams see angels greater than Jibreel and Mikael. And what do they call this angel? You know what they call it? They call this angel Ar-Ruh, the spirit. And what is the spirit? It came interpreted in Ma'ani al-Akhbar by Ibn Babawi. He gave an explanation of this spirit. He said, عَمُودٌ مِّن نُور بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, a column of light between us, the Imam's meaning, and Allah, most mighty and most majestic. This is in Ayun al-Akhbar, page 354. While we know that their Imams now, they receive inspiration and they hear the voice of the angel, and that the angel comes to them during sleep and in awakeness in their homes and their majlis, and that some angels come to them who are greater than Jibreel, who come and guide them and direct them. They even have, meaning their imams, they have other means. They even have five souls in some reports. They have even five spirits rather. Ruh al-Qudus, Ruh of Iman, Ruh of Life, Haya, Ruh al-Quwa, Ruh of Power, and Ruh of Shahwa, Ruh of Desire. All of this mentioned by Al-Kafi, volume 1, page 271. He mentioned this in six narrations. And in Bihar al-Anwar, he related 74 narrations. But their narrations focus upon Ruh al-Qudus. They said that this Ruh al-Qudus, this Ruh moves. To the imams after the death of the prophets, as in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 272. Not only that, and that through this Ruh al-Qudus, they came to know what's under the throne of Allah, from what's under the, from the throne, from below the throne, all the way to what's below the earth, as in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 272. And they said, through Ruh al-Qudus, this spirit of al-Qudus, the Imam can see what is absent from him in the parts of the earth, and what's up in heavens, and overall what is below the Arsh, all the way to what is underneath the earth. This is in the comments on Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 272, and also in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 272 itself. Not only that, they have reports in their books which says that the imams go all the way up to the Arsh of Ar-Rahman, as they claim, every Friday to circulate around the Arsh and take from it the knowledge as they wish. This is in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 254, in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, pages 88-89, in Basair al-Darajat, page 36. And there are also other narrations which Al-Killini mentioned it in his books. And in some reports, as in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 39, pages 151 to 157, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Ali, and that Jibreel dictated. This came in 17 narrations. And Al-Majlisi reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to their claims, presents the Imam with a column through which he sees the actions of the slaves. And this is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 132-136. All of these types of knowledge, they refer it to the new, the novel. And not only that, that these, the manifestation of such knowledge is dependent upon the Mashi'a. You may think of Allah, the Mashi'a of the Imam. This is in the reports of Al-Kafi. He put a title, a chapter for these narrations, Babun. أن الأئمة عليهم السلام إذا شاءوا أن يعلموا علموا. The chapter, the Imams عليهم السلام, if they wish to know, they would know. وصول الكافي, volume 1, 258. And he mentioned the three narrations there. If the Imam intends to know, he would be given the knowledge by Allah. Volume 1, 258. So the revelation to the Imam is not solely dependent upon the will of Allah, as it is in the case with the messengers, but with their Imams, it is related to the Mashi'a of the Imam himself. The Mashi'a of the Imam himself. This knowledge, which they call it the new and the novel and so forth, this is not the only knowledge they have. They have knowledge which comes through books inherited. So this is the first type. The second type is the storage of knowledge with the Imams. So we came to know the novel one, and that it occurs to them without intermediates, directly from Allah. And this in a way resembles what? The sayings of the ghulā of the Sufis, like Ibn Arabi. Those excessive ones of the Sufis, like Ibn Arabi, who say they take directly from Allah through kashf. Now, the stored knowledge with the Imams, as we said, involves that which they inherited from the Prophet, or knowledge which they took directly, verbally, from the Prophet ﷺ. And the essence of this belief, which is a necessity with the rejectionist Shia, that the Messenger ﷺ informed, listen, part of the Sharia, and kept part of it, which he entrusted Ali, and Ali manifested part of it in his life, and upon his death he trusted Al-Hasan with it, and so with each Imam a part will appear in accordance to need, then the rest will remain to the next one until it all, or what was left, was related and kept with their awaited Imam. And Muhammad bin Hussein al-Kashif al-Ghata, who died in 1376, he said that rulings in Islam are of two types. Some which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed to the companions, and others which he kept secret and he trusted with it his trustees, and that each trustee would come, would bring from it what is needed for the people in his time, then entrusts the rest to the next one, and so forth. You know, even they claim that the Prophet ﷺ did not complete the tashri'. Here is there one of their ayat. Ayat al-Uzma, the great signs. Shihabuddin al-Najafi. He said that the Prophet ﷺ ضاقت عليه الفرصة ولم يسعه المجال لتعليم جميع أحكام الدين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم missed the opportunities and did not have the time to teach all the rulings of the deen. Why? Because he busied himself with wars. This is in his book, in his commentary on إحقاق الحق, volume 2, 28-289. So look at this insult to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he busied and gave preference to engagement in wars rather than in making and proclaiming and conveying the Sharia. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك, O messenger, convey that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, your Lord has sent down to you. So did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turn away from the command of Allah? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Are these really people who follow the messenger? Not to mention that they are from those who stand in support of the household of the Prophet ﷺ. Isn't it that the belief in such a creed is belying the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Today I have completed your deen for you and perfected my I have perfected your deen for you and completed my favor upon you, and وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, and I have chosen Islam for you as your deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected and completed the deen. And any saying in opposition to this is plain kufr and misguidance. However, the deen which is imperfect and will not be perfect is the deen of the Rafida. They claim that their imams, as Sahib al-Kafi, the author of al-Kafi, put in a chapter, Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 192, 193, بابٌ أن الأئمة عليهم السلام ولاة أمر الله وخزنة علمه, that the imams عليهم السلام, to them, are the trustees and guardians upon the command of Allah and the store of His knowledge, containers of His knowledge. And he tabulated their 6 narrations to this effect. Not only that, in the same volume 1, page 223-226, Usul al-Kafi, which is considered to them, which is Sahih al-Bukhari, this is Usul al-Kafi to them. He said, أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّةَ وَرِثُوا عِلْمَ النَّبِيِّ وَجَمِيعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The imams inherited the knowledge of the Prophet and all the Prophets and the أَوْصِيَاء الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, and the trustees before them. And they mentioned 7 narrations in this effect. He furthermore added, أن الأئمة, that the imams, يعلمون جميع العلوم, they know all the knowledge which came to the angels and the prophets and the messengers. This is in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 225-256. And from that they claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not inform His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of any knowledge except that He commanded him to relate it and teach it to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he was his associate in knowledge. In Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 263. And in Bihar al-Anwar, they attribute that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he knew the knowledge from the rest of the prophets, not only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but other prophets. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 40, page 208 to 212. And also in volume 40, page 127, he claims that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Ali 1000 chapters of knowledge. You know, it did not stop there. They claim that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued to take knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until after his death. And Al-Majlisi put a title for that. He said, Babun, chapter. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught upon his death and afterwards. And in one of the narrations under this chapter, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, entrusted me, meaning entrusted Ali, said, if I die, then wash me and after you finish washing me, then shroud me. Shroud me. Then put your mouth on my mouth. He said, so I did. Listen. وَأَنْبَأَنِي بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And he informed me, the Prophet ﷺ, of what will occur until the day of resurrection. Until the day of resurrection. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, chapter 40, 213, and in Basair al-Darajat, chapter 80. Narrations of darkness on top of darkness. And they say that whenever Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was informed about something after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, this is for what the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam informed me after his death. As in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 40, page 215. And in Al-Kharaij wal-Jara'ih, page 132. This rejectionist's imagination did not also stop there. It continued to relate that they received books and records from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, like chapter As-Sahifa, and one called Al-Jafr, and one called Al-Jami'a, and one called Mus'haf Ali, Mus'haf Fatima. This is in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 238-248. Mention many narrations concerning these books and these records. He said that their imams have books containing the names of kings who will rule the world. Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 155. Not only that, he put a chapter entitled في أن عندهم صلوات الله عليهم كتب الأنبياء. They have with them the books of the prophets. يقرؤونها على اختلاف لغاتها. They read it despite of their different languages. Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, 180-189. He mentioned 27 narrations in there. And in another page, to 159-179, with 63 narrations, that they have all the knowledge of the angels, the prophets, and that they were given what Allah gave the prophets, and that each imam knows all the knowledge of the imam before him. and that the earth does not stay without a person of knowledge. And that they, the Imams, have books in which there in them the names of the people of paradise and the names of their Shia and their enemies. This is in Bihar al-Anwar 27, 117, 132. So they can give you, you check your name, are you from the residence of paradise or what? They also refer to this book, which they call it Al-Jami'a or Al-Sahifa, that it spans 70 arm spans with the hands of Ali, with the handwriting of Ali, and dictated by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in it there is every halal and every haram mentioned. This is related in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 239, Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 22, and the narrations are so many in Bihar al-Anwar. What is amazing is that their imams promised their followers that they shall rule by this record, and that if they would rule, they will rule by this record. There is no mention of the Quran, and they say that this is their reference to follow. They said, فَنَحْنُ نَتَّبِعْ مَا فِيهَا وَلَا نَعْدُوهَا. We follow what's in it and we don't go beyond that. As in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 22-23. And in Basair al-Darajat, volume 39. Their narrations also report of another book, which they call it Kitabu Ali, the Book of Ali. And that it was Ali's handwriting dictated by the Prophet ﷺ. But they didn't mention any of its texts and rulings. Except one ruling. That woman has no right, women have no right to inherit the estate of the man after his death. This is the only ruling which is mentioned. They take by this text and they leave the Quran regarding the inheritance of women. Their books and their narrations also mention another sahifa. In this sahifa there is also 12, or rather 19 records, which the Prophet ﷺ had chosen and kept from the imams. And they don't say anything more than that regarding it. And that they say that Ali alayhi salam, they say, called Al-Hasan and related to him and gave him a knife and told him, open this record. He couldn't open it, and so he opened it for him, and he said to him, recite. Al-Hasan recited Alif, Ba, Seen, Lam, letter after the other. Then he folded it and then gave it to Al-Hussein. He couldn't open it. He opened it for him, said, read, O my son. So he recited it as he recited, as the Hassan did. Then he folded it to his son, Ibn al-Hanafiyya, or to Ibn al-Hanafiyya. Couldn't open it. He opened it for him. He said, recite. And he couldn't take anything from it. So he folded it. And what are these letters? This is in what? In Bihar al-Anwar, chapter, volume 26, rather page 56. And in Basair al-Darajat, page 89. And in Al-Mufid's Ikhtisas, page 284. What are these letters? He said, it is reported in their books that each letter opens one chapter, 1,000 chapters. there is no indication whatsoever concerning the meanings of these letters. And why the Imams did not benefit from these letters? And Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, alluded to a kind of what they call a future telling using calculations based on statements made of alphabetical letters. And he said this is something inherited from the Jews, and that a sect wanted to deduce from this the length of the stay of this ummah. And if one thinks about it, it's not much really different from what one sees in the magic done to people by the magicians, where they put numbers and letters without meaning and circles and draw things and then put some verses of the Quran within there. And from the books which they claim to have is another book, a record called Al-Abita. And some which they call Diwan al-Shia, and some which they call Al-Jafr, something called Al-Jafr, white Jafr and red Jafr. In this book which is called Diwan al-Shia, in this record, book of records of the Shia, they say that anyone whose name is not mentioned, then he is not on Islam. They say that إِنَّ شِيعَتَنَا مَكْتُوبُونَ, our Shia are written with their names and the names of their fathers. Nothing upon the millah of Islam except us and them, they and their fathers. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 123, and Basair al-Darajat, page 47. Other books which they claim they have, something called Wasiyyat al-Husayn, the will of Hussein. And they say that in this record, everything which the offspring of Adam needs from the time of existence of this life until it perishes. This is in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1304. This is just a drop in the sea of some of the names of the books and records which they speak about. But sufficient here, inshallah ta'ala, to know that this is what constitutes, quote, the sunnah to the Rafidah. Direct knowledge of the Imams, infallibility, knowing the unseen, no more than the rest of the Prophets. Some part of the Sharia is hidden, they only know of it, and books and storage of knowledge with them. And they give to that much higher importance than the Quran. We will continue, inshallah, the discussion on their position regarding the Sunnah in the next parts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all fitan, the apparent and the hidden, and to make this effort sincere for His face and a means of guidance for me and for everyone who comes to know of it and to listen to it. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.